Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 99702 pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and all your demonic angels and render all your powers null and void. And you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and we covenant with you, Father. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, just before I get started with our teaching, let me apologize to our listening audience from last week, my blunder when I got tied tongue pronouncing a particular word. I was pronouncing the Amalekites and I stumbled there. I got tongue tied. So please forgive me for that blunder. We here at Kansas City Christian Faith Center consider our ministry a ministry of excellence. So please forgive me. Now, in that said, let's continue our teaching on who the Lord loves, he chastens. Who the Lord loves, he chastens. So please open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Again, that's Hebrews 12, and we're going to begin reading at verse 5 through 11. And it says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My sons, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respects, shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Amen. So we see a profit in being chastened by the Lord. Amen. We see a wonderful, peaceful fruit of his righteousness. Amen. Now, we had stopped off and we had began teaching on the wilderness experience. The wilderness experience. And we've come to find out that some denominations and church traditions, and we're not against denominations, not whatsoever, but we just observed that some denominations and church traditions will try to use the wilderness experience on you. But do not be deceived. Amen. They will teach you that God will lead you through the wilderness to make you strong. It is one of those lies that have been promulgated down the years, and it is unscriptural and traditional. The damaging thing about that is many people will believe an idea like that rather than the Word of God. Now, let's look at some of these things, because I believe it would help to free some of you, especially if you have something from your past that has been hanging over your head. There are many people who think God will not forgive them for all the bad things they have done, all the things that are coming against their lives, or because of all the bad stuff you did back then. God does not remember that you did anything bad once you become to Christ. Even if you are a mass murderer, and I hope you have not, no one should have that on his or her conscience. No matter what you may have done, God will not hold it against you. Amen. Once you have received Christ. Once you have come to Christ, God never remembers that you ever sinned. And he will not put something on you in the future to make you pay for something you did in the past. Please go to the book of Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah 31, and we're going to read verse number 34. And it says, no more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they all shall know me. How many? They all shall know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sins I will remember no more. And their sins I will remember no more. Amen. So my question is, if God does not remember them, why are you remembering them? Why are you letting them stop you from advancing in the things of God? Amen. However, the devil will remember, and some preachers in the pulpit will cooperate with the devil by telling you that the Lord put that on you. God is testing and perfecting you. He is bringing you through the wilderness to make a better person out of you. And through it all, you will become a stronger person in the things of God. Do not be deceived. Now, it sounds reasonable, but we are not dealing with reasonable ability. We are dealing with faith in God's word. Going through the wilderness will kill you, graveyard dead. Just as the children of Israel, they went through the wilderness for 40 years, and it did not make them stronger, but it killed every person 20 years old and upward, except Caleb and Joshua. In fact, God did not put the children of Israel in the wilderness. They put themselves there for their lack of faith and their disobedience to follow God's word. As a result, they had to go through the wilderness. Many of the trials, tests, and tribulations you might be going through in life, God did not put them on you. In fact, the devil didn't even put them on you. You put them on yourselves. Please go to the book of Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. And let's read verse number 12. And it says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but his end is the way of death. Now, go over to Proverbs 16. And we're going to read verse number 25. Proverbs 16, verse 25. And it says also, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Same scripture, same verse, same wording. See, there is a way. Because we have a free will, some people think that there is another way. But it says the end is death. And so the children of Israel thought there was another way too. And they ended up in the wilderness because of their disobedience and their murmuring against the Lord. Amen. Now you're there. Go to the book of Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And let's look at this. Let's just validate this right now so we can stop all the confusion. Acts 4:12. It says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There's no other name. So there is no other way, and there is no other name. The devil, what he's doing is just seeing to it that they are enforced in your life, and because we are on his turf, he is going to break your head with all sorts of disasters. Most of the negativity that comes into your life is a direct result from your rebellion against what God says to do. You do not want to go through the wilderness experience because it can kill you. When you look at world history and human history, the children of Israel will be the ideal case for what the wilderness experience can do for you. Remember, they came out of Egypt, and the Lord worked miracles for them. They went through the Red Sea. The Egyptians were destroyed, and the children of Israel walked through an area called the wilderness and ended up on the banks of the Jordan River, looking across into the land of Canaan. Now the Lord said to Moses, he told him, he says, pick 12 men, one from each tribe, who is a leader of that tribe, and send them to the land to search and spy it out and validate that it is exactly what I, God, said it was, a land that flows with milk and honey. And they were selected, and they sent out and were gone for 40 days. And after that, they returned. Now, let's find out what happened when they returned. Please go to Numbers 13. Numbers chapter 13. We're going to begin at verse 26 and 27. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all of the congregation, the 12 spies that were sent out of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought word back to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, Moses, and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruits. So they had proof. It wasn't any question. What God said, it was. They told the entire congregation that the land surely flowed with milk and honey, and they had the fruit as proof. They did not say, well, we think it might. They didn't say that. They did not say, well, it seems like they didn't say that. And they said it, but they said it truly flowed with milk and honey. So now let's continue. We're still in Numbers 13. Let's begin with verse number 28. And it says, nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Enoch, the Amalekites, dwelt in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwelt in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwelt by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Enoch came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sights. Now that's interesting. They brought back, they said, a bad report. Now that's, they, in other words, they didn't believe what the Lord had told them. After seeing all the miracles that happened as they left Egypt, they still did not believe the Lord. Now the question I have is, how did the children of Israel know what they looked like to the other people that were there? We don't have any recorded information telling us what they thought they looked like to them. Instead of the children of Israel acting from a position of strength, they were acting from a position of weakness by saying they could not take the land. God had said to the children of Israel, I give this land to you. But they refused by saying, we cannot take it. Now my question, how many of you will refuse something that God has told you that he has given to you? How many of you just going to refuse it? The children of Israel did. Now let's see the outcome of this situation the children of Israel got themselves in. Now, you're still in Numbers. Let's go to Numbers 14, beginning with verse 26 and 27. And it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complains against me? I have heard their complaints, and the children of Israel has made against me. Now, I want to stop there for a moment. And verse number 20 says, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation? Now, evil is a sin. It's a sin. And so we could read this verse like this. How long shall I bear with this sinful congregation who complains against me? I've heard their complaints which the children of Israel make against me. So evil and sinful, they are brothers. Amen. They are both a sin and are affront to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do not be deceived. Just because you do not commit fornication or adultery, you lie, you smoke, you steal, you gamble, or the likes, that you are just fine with God. But notice what God said in verse 27. He says, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation? No, they weren't doing the things that I mentioned above in terms of gambling, stealing, adultery, and the such. But God said they did come back with an evil report. They came back with a sinful report. An evil report is a report of doubt. It is a report that refuses to believe that what Almighty God is telling you is the truth. It is a refusal to do the things God's way. It is an indictment on them not understanding who God is. Not understanding who God is and his promise to them as a nation. Now, I told you, it said it was an indication of them not understanding. I told you before in previous lessons that understand is a very critical word. And it means some very things, because understanding consists of two words, under and stand. It means to submit to and one's point of view. So if the children of Israel truly understood what God was telling them, the way God seen it is the way they should have seen it. The way God said it is the way they should have said it. And what I mean by said, instead of coming back with an evil report, they would have came back with an excellent report like Caleb and Joshua when they said, hey, we can go up and take the land. But they came back with an evil report. And so the way God do it is the way they should do it. And the results that God gets is the results they should have got. Why? Because they completely understand. But the majority of the people didn't understand. Amen. That's why you have to be careful when you're dealing with people. Because in our society and so-called democracy, it is the majority that wins, even though the majority can be wrong. When you look at the history of America, there was a lot of times when the majority was wrong about a lot of things that happened in the government and our society today. So you have to be careful who you hang with. Amen. Now, let's read. Let's go there in Numbers 14. And so let's see what happens here in this wilderness experience. So Numbers 14, and we're going to begin with verse number 26. And it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with you, this evil congregation, who complain against me? I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses you have complained against me shall fall in the wilderness, and all of you who were numbered according to your entire number for 20 years old and above, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and for Joshua, the son of Nun. And you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. But your little ones, whom you said would be victims, I will bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness. Now that's something. It says your carcasses will fall in the wilderness. Verse 33. And your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years and bear the brunt of your infidelity until your carcasses are all consumed in the wilderness. According to the number of the days in which you spied out the land, 40 days for each day, and you shall bear your guilt 1 year, namely 40 years, and you shall know my rejection. I, the Lord, have spoken this. I will surely do it to all this evil congregation who all gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and they shall die. Amen. And they shall die. So because they did not pay any attention to God, because they murmured against Moses and Aaron, and because they were disobedient, God said, you will die in the wilderness. The wilderness experience. God does not put you in there to make you stronger. God told the people that they would die in the wilderness, but God did not put them there. It was their complaining against God and his servant Moses which caused them to go into the wilderness, number one. God's purpose for them going into the wilderness was not to make them strong. He said the people were going to die there. The children of Israel brought this disaster on themselves by their murmuring and complaining. Who heard the murmuring? Verse 27 tells us God heard the murmuring. Here is a report. The Lord is still hearing today. So be careful what you say or complain about your pastor, for the Lord is listening. All you do when you gripe and complain is set yourself up for the wilderness. God called the children of Israel's complaining evil. Do not be deceived. Just because you think you do not drink, smoke, do drugs, lie, gamble, that is makes it all right. But you murmur and gripe, and that is just as much a sin before God as those who of the things I mentioned above. They may be why your blessings have not come yet, because of your murmuring. Have you ever thought about that? I don't know about you, but I do not want to die, and I want to be prevented from going into the promised land by murmuring. Amen? Well, we're just about through for the day, but please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.